You await your mistress's commands. Your tether to her is still intact. You wait for the doors before you to open. She'll give you simple commands and you'll head out. Your endurance, your strength are great, and with her commands ringing in your mind, it is, at times, very easy to know what to do. You don't need to know much of anything at all. The coding of her power and her will within you. The rival sorceress at the opposite end of the arena will send her pet, her agency, in, and the two of you will do battle, each under the direction of your mistress with her limited commands. The telepathic link to you is strong, and when the doors open, there's a sudden rallying cry, a buoying of your spirit. As you proceed forwards, you feel your powerful undead body suffused with strength, vigor. You're the easiest kind of pet to heal, after all, and so you can fight more matches, win more glory more readily for your mistress. Proceeding into the arena, your body throbbing. The opponent out there might be anything, anyone. But with your mistress's reassurances in your mind, you know you'll be able to handle it. She recently changed her enchantments, bolstering you against certain types of attacks. She frequently does that, looking ahead in the brackets or researching who she'll be up against. She uses you, an undead servant, not because necromancy is her specialty, though she's quite skilled at it. So much so you know she could revive you completely even now. And she said she plans to do so when this tournament season's over. No, she uses you, an undead servant, because you can more easily endure the side effects of her true talent, the magic of transformation and change. Her ability to change your defenses, capabilities, your magical aspect. It might be quite uncomfortable for an unwary or ordinary human, or any living familiar for that matter. But it is as nothing to your skilled mind and endurant form. You lack willpower or independent thought, but you can order and compartmentalize thoughts like a computer. You are used to the changes, and your mind and will are mostly tied to her most recent command anyway. So when she commands you forward out of your gate and onto the sands of the arena, you stumble slowly out the door, methodical. You're not very nimble right now, but your body is so full of vigor you more than make up for it in enthusiasm, strength, and endurance. Your muscle memory's intact, so wrestling moves, holds, or precision close quarters maneuvers, and of course the grabs which enable your diamond-tipped teeth to latch onto an opponent's flesh in an attack, all of this is available. You don't look at your opponent right away. Once your cloth-wrapped feet have shuffled onto the hot sands of the battlefield, you instead look up at the stone stands behind you. The vast arena toward where your mistress, the sorceress of the winds of change, is waiting. It's about 20 feet up to where the stands are, and she has a private box, just as opposite her, the opponent's familiar is standing below her box. Your mistress is leaning out over the edge and looking right down at you. Never cruel, never discouraging. Always bright, kind, and now focused on you. She blows you a kiss, even, much to the chagrin of her various fans and admirers in the stands. She wears skull rings, black robes, and carries a staff with a pitch-black crystal, but that's all an act, pretending to be a necromancer. Only you're in on the act. Her name gives away something of her abilities, but she always passes it off as changing the dead into the living, or similar. It's not like you're going to tell anyone, with your groans and drooling. She points across the arena and clears her throat. You feel the gentle tug of a mental command, telling you to focus your attention on the opponent. So you do. Ah, you see her. The opponent up above is the sorceress of the Demon Gate. And she has another demonic servant, a succubus, below, standing on the sands opposite you, a completely nude woman, with perfect proportions, bouncing breasts with heart-shaped areolae around the nipple, a patch of heart-shaped pubic hair above the perfect hairless slit of her pussy below, a long tail that lashes through the sands, leaving deep gouges. Her hair is flying in a non-existent breeze, and her little horns jut out from just above her scalp. She has full, impossibly huge lips and a long tongue she presently extends between her index and middle finger, an obscene gesture as she licks and sways, leans forward at the waist, shaking her breasts while they hang pendant beneath her. You hear your mistress' voice in your mind. Oh, hell the fuck yes, we already won this one. We win. You hear her excitement. You pick up the emotional tenor of her cheering, and a goofy grin appears on your face. Oops, dial it down, she instructs in your mind, and your face carefully composes itself. The only emotions you ever really respond to are those which bleed over empathically from your mistress, and today is no different. Still, the opposing sorceress, you look up toward her, a short redhead with blood-soaked robes and a smug expression. She noticed your grin. That's right, says the haughty voice from far above, calling out from opposite you. I bet you're turned on. No one can resist her. Humph. You know that being undead doesn't protect you from the succubus' charms. They could probably get a piece of furniture aroused. But that strategic piece of knowledge in your memory somewhere tells you that your mistress has good reason to be happy. Your emotional response, except to your mistress, is dulled. And this includes even memories of your past life and arousal. The succubus will have a hard time figuring out a way to make you too turned on to attack. And a demon summoned to the arena has their natural physical prowess dulled in order for them to be under the entry threshold for power. This is just the chance for victory that your mistress planned for. On some level, you're always glad at the prospect of a win for your mistress, because some part of your mind remembers being alive and that it was fun, and your mistress will be grateful and revive you at the end of the season. One way or another, she'll revive you, but gratitude would be nice. Enough wins, and you both might share in the reward. You also like the idea of winning for its own sake, as much as your blank, docile, singular mind can be said to like things. It is the fulfillment of a function you're made to perform. Even in the dull, slow-moving confines of your undead mind, you feel like the sorceress of the demon gate is a little smug and needs to be taken down a peg. There's the deep sound of a gong being rung. It plays richly over your ears. Your undead mind never shuts out stimulus. After all, for combat purposes, you have to collect information. So unless you're ordered to ignore something, which requires power on your mistress's part, you feel and hear the tone of everything in their fullness, and then the voice of the enchantress, the one who owns this arena, in her green robes, halfway between the two combatants, up on the stands. Seated on her throne overlooking the arena, it rings out, "Ladies, welcome to the next bout. All betting is closed. Begin." That was it. No countdown, nothing else. The fight has begun. "Attack, my servant," comes the voice from the stands opposite you. "Get in there," comes your mistress's chipper command in your mind. The succubus is standing right where she was. She hasn't moved since the gong went, and she's still striking the obscene pose. You do feel vaguely turned on, perhaps her pheromones in the air, her aura drifting out. Her eyes are sharp, focused, but with your mistress's command freshly playing out, you are very quick. Nimble enough on your feet to approach her and get within arm's reach. Crossing the dozen feet to reach her, attacking with your sharpened nails, lashing out in a grab. But then she's just not there. You end up grabbing only air. She dodged, you suppose. But you know some other trick could be at play, and replaying the moment doesn't give you any visual confirmation of actual movement on her part. Succubi are creatures of the air. She melts away into it, drifting aside, reappears, this time gripping her boobs and rubbing her nipples, showing you their firmness, beckoning you to touch, making kissy sounds that serve the dual purpose of highlighting just how full and moist her lips are. Both sets, because she slides one hand down off her breast and spreads her pussy below. The temptation is obvious and powerful, and your body responds, to the magic component at least. The mistress laughs. You hear it telepathically, and you do hear some kind of petite gloating from the mistress of the demon gate, your opponent's owner. You hear it from above. She must think you're ensnared, when really you're just trying to figure out an angle of attack that the succubus won't easily dodge. You eventually decide to dive when you're within range, and so you jolt forward, but before you can even leave the ground, she has disappeared and is behind you. You hear her clearing her throat. You turn, and she's right there, rubbing her breasts against your face quickly, bringing her hand down between your legs and grinding her palm, humping against your side, rubbing her ass against you, and then passing by. The whole maneuver carried out in just a second, but it leaves you with a series of powerful impressions, fantasies given form in a momentary barrage, like a blast of potent sexual energy. And then she's 6 feet away from you again. A creature of the air, indeed. You know she's spending magic to do this, but at this rate, there is a vague possibility. Even your dulled senses might be overwhelmed. No one ever resists that, says the sorceress of the demon gate from above. And you begin to slowly meander toward the succubus, having reasserted yourself, but you pick up speed quickly. Oh, resistant, says the sorceress of the demon gate. And she must be issuing some command, because the succubus darts further from you, turns, shows you her ass, slaps her flank openly, tempting you, continuing to provoke you. You once more cross the space, but her tail brushes between your legs as you attack, running over the long ignored space between your legs. The pleasure finds its way even through your dulled undead nervous system, magically assisted by her. It's like she's waking parts of you back up. You feel arousal, and one of her hands brushes over your chest, seems to ignore your ragged clothing, passing through it, touching you right through it. This isn't an attack. She's tweaking and rubbing one of your nipples before you can even grab, even with the great snapping strength of your arms coming together in the classic undead zombie grab. She is not there. Despite your undead insulation against pleasure attacks, you shiver. Some semblance of human arousal plays in you, the jiggle of her breasts, the sweet, spicy scent of her perfume. Was it perfume? Or were those pheromones? Hard to tell, impossible to know. You try to get your head together, your brain together, your thoughts together. And you turn once more. Focus, comes your mistress's command from above and from inside your mind. Yes, you must focus, so you can better acquit yourself for your mistress's observation and praise and benefit. You simply feel you must, and so you shall. Your resolve manages to overcome the pheromones, the pleasure, the fantasy, the touch of her skin. You've touched so much of her without even doing it deliberately that you can remember the pliability, how joyous it would be to lose yourself in sex with her. But as you do not have any ability to filter things out, you are more aware of them, even if you have heavy resistance. It's like having no ability to dodge her seduction attacks. Even though you have an ironclad defense, your lustful systems are already quieting down. Whereas a human, or at least a living servant, might be able to concentrate on the fight and put the jiggle of her breasts, the caress of her hand out of mind, you can't. But there's no time to focus on that because another command comes in. You don't have time to keep trying to purge the peculiar arousal, so you let it build and focus on your mistress, your thoughts of your mistress. Behind you is her command. So you spin, ready to attack. But the succubus isn't attacking you. She's just rubbing the underside of her breasts, raising and dropping them so they bounce. See how they jiggle? Don't you just want to bury your face in here? Asks the demonic enemy servant in a high-pitched, teasing voice. And you do want to, sort of. But your desire to please your mistress with victory, to pleasure your mistress, you mean please your mistress with victory, yeah. That desire is greater. So the succubus dances backwards as you approach. And no matter how quickly you try to attack, she's always just out of sight, jiggling her breasts, spreading her legs, turning inside profile, shaking her hips, jiggling her ass, doing everything and anything she can to provoke and tempt you. And it works, incrementally, bit by bit. You know, there will be a point when you would surrender to lust, lose your reason. And, based on the smug smirk of the sorceress of the demon gate above, and the way the succubus just keeps assailing you, they think that point is much sooner than it is. You have been assailed with lust attacks before, and your loyalty to and desire for and pleasure from your mistress's satisfaction is more than enough to keep you focused on her instead of these momentary distractions. You set them aside, ignore them, and experience instead the clearing of your mind that comes when your mistress gives you a definite command. The succubus dances backwards as you approach, out of range. No matter how quickly you try to attack, she's always just out of sight. Jiggling her breasts, spreading her legs, turning inside profile, shaking her hips, her ass. Every movement is of a perfect body. Makes sense, because she has shaped it according to her whims or her mistress's. A demon's form is just a thought projection, which makes all forms of arousal-based attacks more effective. If only you could use them. Given your undead shape, you'd have a hard time turning her on without specific preparations or orders. You continue trying to attack, following the last command your mistress gave, and she keeps dancing out of sight, trying to build up your arousal so high that you can't continue your attack. It seems she is using some sort of ability to stay just out of range and to keep appearing behind you. You still keep attacking. Pure stamina often wins fights, and if the succubus is using a technique to pseudo-teleport, it will exhaust her limited magic. Demons can't bring their own magic, they have to connect to their mistress, and the sorceress at the demon gate has very limited potential, shrimp that she is. She's nothing like your mistress. Still, you catch sight of jiggling breasts, or the succubus is managing to grind her butt against you. At one point, her tail between your legs, or her hand across the nape of your neck, down across your chest. Before you can grab her, she's touching you, and it's slowing you down. The arousal, the vague memory of your human life, the intense sexual feelings managing to penetrate even the veil of your undead nature, is building up. She has a sense of omnipresence, like she's all around you, like she's always rubbing against you, like you're in the succubus' embrace, even if she's standing several feet away. One time, you take a swipe at the gorgeous naked woman with her long, flowing hair. She teleports particularly far away, leans over, facing away from you, showing you her butt, bending forward enough to push her perfect pussy backwards, showing you everything about her. This is your chance. She's leaving herself vulnerable. You do feel the temptation, the tug, the arousal, but you still have control over your mind. The sorceress of the demon gate must be underestimating you to command her servant to do that. You prepare to charge. Wait. Go slow, says your mistress's command in your mind, telepathically. So you slow down. You begin staggering toward her. From above, you hear the sorceress of the demon gate crying out, "That's right, Cynthia, you got it. Lure in that crummy servant and finish it off." Your pride feels stung, but you obey your mistress's command and continue to lurch slowly toward the succubus. You are watching its ass sway, watching as she looks over her shoulder with a come-fuck-me glare. Yes, you stumble toward her, and you open your jaw as she looks away. A fairly obvious attack, but you're sure she's not going to look back. Wait. Get her in a hold, comes your mistress's command in your mind before you bite. The succubus and her mistress seem overconfident, so you extend your arms, shut your mouth, and grasp for her. The succubus lets you get hold. That's right. Wait until you touch my pussy. That'll feel divine. She moves to grind back against you, running her hands up and down her body, without a trace of irony, describing the touch as divine, but it is ecstatic, transcendental. Her body, bliss, you will remember this. You feel the emotions, the pleasure, the arousal. You feel them more intensely than you did at any other point during this conflict, except you tighten your grip. You squeeze her against you in a bear hug that restricts her. You let the cold energy of undeath leach from you into her, the anti-magic which keeps your power inside your body. The defensive field lapses to her. "Hey, let go," she says, but you just hold on, hugging her gently, trying not to be too distracted by how soft she is. You feel her magic leak out of her and into you. "That's right," comes your mistress's reassuring voice in your head. The succubus, meanwhile, still trying to tempt you. "Come on, don't you want to fuck me? I'll lick you good. I'm not prejudiced. I like everyone, you included." She just couldn't resist the smug smack against you, so you maintain your hold. "No," her voice grows more feeble, her bump and grind a little weaker. And you begin dragging her to the ground, sitting down and pulling her into your lap, just holding her. With your hands on her, teleporting away has become impossible for the succubus, and her mistress is showing visible dissatisfaction with her own powerlessness. It doesn't take long. If you started actually groping, she might tempt you to get the upper hand, so you just squeeze the softness and warmth. She can't muster her magic to grow stronger because it's being drained. You hold her and enjoy on some level her touch, until you hear the enchantress cry out, "The victor, the sorceress of the winds of change," comes the enchantress's quiet voice. You realize the succubus has fallen unconscious in your arms, so you put her gently down, breaking contact, standing and lumbering back toward the gate you entered through, which is now opening. You hear the distant whining and swearing of the sorceress of the demon gate, and the muzzy moaning of the succubus returning to consciousness. But you are now freed of your responsibility. You got the win. You get to return to your mistress. You still feel the arousal and burning, throbbing awakening in your body from the succubus magic and pheromones. You remember her. And you always will remember the temptation, the way she came on to you. Of course, you remember all combat, cataloging it for later referral in your deeply enspelled mind, which is essentially made of magic. And the magic of the succubus, or maybe her pheromones, will always tint the memory of her with some remnant of human living arousal. But you have something better than giving in to the pleasures of that particular flesh. If you'd given in to her and pleasured her, had sex with the succubus on the sands, she would have drained you much the same way your protective spells drained her magic on contact. And then your mistress would have lost. The door opens. It's time for the ritual, the little moment at the end of combat that always makes it worthwhile. Win or lose, the sorceress is always waiting right on the other side. Not up in her box, in her private sleeping chamber, not waiting for you to climb the stairs. She's always waiting at the bottom of the stairs in the dank servant waiting room for you, with a smile. When she's done congratulating you, she heads up the stairs ahead of you. You pin your eyes to her rear as it sways. You're still stirring emotional pleasure from the succubus encounter, and your briefly partially revivified body both experience arousal at being near your mistress, and the revealing black gown she's wearing sparks feelings you hadn't thought much of, preferring the intellectual comfort of her kind, restorative nature. But you'd rather sleep at the foot of her bed, or next to her, when she feels snugly, when she modifies your body to be warm and human or does partial revivals. You'd rather that than anything else, even the momentary transient touch of the unspeakably arousing woman currently reviving out there on the sands. Even when you try to remember the succubus, remember the idea of something which sexually tempted you, it is a vision of your mistress which rises to mind instead. When you arrive in her chambers, your shared chambers, the door to the stands is open. A guard is there. One of the terrifying guards of the enchantress, whose body is blood and stone, and only that. He is extending a pouch full of red gems. The device is known as potencies, which are the currency of the enchantress's arena. Your mistress takes them, and shuts the door on the horrifying guard. She walks to her desk, places the bag down next to many others like it. Then she opens the vast leather-bound tome, which is the catalog of what you can exchange potencies for here at the arena. You sit down next to her, on the little stool in the corner she's set aside for you. She idly strokes your hair, much as one might touch a lover, you think, just absent-mindedly making physical contact while she scans the lists. You peer at the catalog, not reading it, just a glazed expression on your face, your body gradually returning to its shielded, undead state. But that's fine, in her company. You are her guard here, for foul play sometimes happens, but also her companion, her sounding board, her champion. And you are victorious, and she doesn't let you forget it. And those times when you do lose, you comfort yourself that she never dwells on it. She always shares the losses, but prizes and elevates your victory. You know there's a time, sometime in the future, when she will revive you to your human state. When she first mentioned it, you felt pangs of longing, concern. She found you, the brink of death and gave you this animated form. When you revived, you'd no longer be suitable to fight in an arena as her preferred pet, after all. You had that thought once. You know your telepathy's one way. You feel her even now, running her hands over your shoulders, your back. She doesn't quite know what you're thinking, at least not as directly as you know what she's thinking. But once, when you worried about what would happen when you were revived, you remember her saying, "Don't worry. I don't intend to send you anywhere." She made it clear, and that clarity reinforces your purpose. You didn't really realize it, but there was more at work than just an undead entity's natural resistance to temptation and seduction. And as she checks your protective charms, runs her fingers over you, dispelling lingering demonic influence, you relax into her touch, and rather than dreading the day when you'll be revived, remembering her promise that you're not going anywhere, you look forward to it, almost as much as you look forward to the next victory in her name, and seeing what thrilling things she'll spend her winnings on.